The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 681. It's the 13th of September, 2017. On the podcast today, Stuart Bladen, CEO of Phalanx Group, and Jay Abbott, Executive Director of Phalanx Cyber Defence, discuss the launch of their proprietary advanced threat detection and response platform known as Midgard. Also on the podcast, successful private investor Smudge Dan talks about the following stocks: Blue Rock Diamonds, that's BRD, Starcom, that's STAR, Star, and Management Resource Solutions, MRS, is a ticker there, MRS. Plus, as always, have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs on the platform too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Stuart Bladen, CEO of Phalanx Group, and Jay Abbott, Executive Director of Phalanx Cyber Defence. And of course, it's FLX is the ticker. Guys, thanks for joining me.
Hey, good afternoon. It's great to talk to you and your listeners again, Justin.
Yeah, well, you've got some big news out today, and we'll get to that in a bit. But before we do, like always, people who are listening right now and are not quite aware of you or what you do, Stuart, can you give a brief summary? Tell us what Phalanx Group is all about, please.
Yes, sure. So we're Phalanx, ticker FLX, and we do cyber consulting, security monitoring, and geopolitical intelligence.
Excellent stuff. Okay, so the RS is the launch of Midgard. Now, I had Richard on the other day. Richard is a new appointment and a well-known figure in the world of cybersecurity. And I've got to say, he was very enthused about Midgard. And he was to the point where he said, apparently his wife said, "Why are you so excited?" And he said, I don't think people understand the potential of this. So he was very excited. So, guys, could you tell us about Midgard and the launch of it and everything we need to know about it as a layperson, of course?
Sure. I mean, the first thing to say is that we're all really excited because we think Midgard changes the way managed threat detection and response works. And what it does very simply is it really replaces what current SOCs and SIEMs do. So that's things that look out for hacking. And it really replaces it with a new platform that uses all the latest data analytics and machine learning. And kind of why is that important? Well, first of all, because it actually networks clients together, which means they can actually share learning rather than being on their own. Secondly, it's actually a lot faster to implement and cheaper than the existing ways of doing it. And thirdly, when you've installed Midgard, it allows you to leverage all the Phalanx teams and SOCs and expertise in the background to really help you. So it really makes a difference to how many, many companies can respond.
Excellent. Well, listen, I had Richard on the other day talking about why he joined Phalanx and the potential he saw in Midgard, and he was very excited about it, Jay, and he said when you first started speaking to him, within a couple of minutes, he was sold on it. And first of all, it must be nice to have that kind of enthusiasm from a guy who's well-known in the industry. And could you sort of explain, because he got so enthusiastic, he went off into all kinds of acronyms and niche talk that went over my head. But can you explain why he's so enthusiastic about it, please, Jay?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think Rich's enthusiasm is a great validation of the work that we've done over the last 10 months. As a product, as a solution, as an architecture, as a thing, Midgard has been a concept for the last few years for me, probably four or more now, and has been something I've been slowly refining in my mind before in the last 10 months I've been able to bring together in Phalanx some of the greatest minds I've experienced throughout my career to help me bring this thing to market. And I think it's a great validation to have an external party who's very well respected in the industry, see what we've done, and within 5 minutes of me explaining it to him, go, "Wow, I want in. That's something that I think could, you know, change everything." So it's great validation. It's great to have that sort of level of external validation over the activities that we've been investing in over this time. In terms of what Midgard is, Midgard, in its highest level, in its most simple form is a stream-based processing engine. Essentially, it can take vast quantities of data in one end, we call it telemetry, but vast quantities of data, multiple types, multiple sources, multiple formats, run through a normalization process where it's tagged and parsed and aligned to a common format, and then it's run through an enrichment bus. And an enrichment bus really is quite an interesting concept because it allows us to use data to enrich data. So it allows us to take a simple piece of information like an IP address and then look up, is that a known bad IP address? Is that something we've seen before? Is that something our platform knows about? Is that something of interest? You know, what is it? And add all of this extra information and enrich it, enriching that initial event all the way through the bus. And then once it's gone through enrichment, it comes through triage and alerting and eventually gets written to an index. And when I say written to an index, it's sort of a cursory statement, but to put it in perspective, if you take the current best-selling SIEM tool on the market, or security analytics tool, as they like to call themselves, something like Splunk, Splunk uses elastic indexes. It uses this concept based on an open-source tool set called ELK, Elastic Indexing. And the Splunk, if you like, is the commercial version of that. We actually write the open source version of that and give you that as part of the product. So, you know, essentially, that's the last step in our system, not the first. It's not the whole part. Our stream-based processing engine is actually a real-time engine. It allows data to come through in what we call near real-time. So, you know, from bad thing happening in client network to it actually becoming an actionable event where a human in our SOC can interact with it and investigate it and understand it and truly interpret that information, that's a matter of seconds. You know, so it's near real time in terms of an activity. And I guess that's what makes it interesting and unique and new. There's not much out there in traditional architectures that can do that. Certainly, our platform has been architected around the concept of microservices, which are tiny programs all talking to each other, rather than one big program. This means that we can very quickly and easily flex its capability and adapt it in near real time again to the threat landscape as it changes. So it's not something we've built, that's it, ta-da. It will continue to evolve. It's an ecosystem. It's a tool set. It's a platform. It's not really a product, if that makes sense. And I guess, you know, again, these are relative concepts that if you're a technical person and you understand these things and you look at it, you go, that's kind of interesting. That's new. That's different. That's disruptive. You know, it's a term I don't like to use that often, but it does have the potential to disrupt.
Okay, well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, from a person, from a technical point of view, someone who knows what they're talking about, I mean, that to me, you know, that sounds all good. I understand that, and you're very enthused as well as Richard. But from an investor's point of view, I mean, it's a very hot sector, like you said, cybersecurity, and there's lots of companies involved in that space. So is this unique then? Is this a different kind of product compared to what's out there?
Absolutely, Justin. I think at its very simplest, Midgard is much, much faster to implement than a traditional solution. So it saves significant capital expenditure. You can either run it with your own staff or you can choose to outsource the operations to us. You can use Midgard for your backup and resilience facilities, and all that takes out substantial amounts of current cost. But the thing for me that is really fundamentally different, that actually means that this is disruptive, is that when you have multiple instances of Midgard out with clients and you link them all together, they actually start to learn from each other. They form a hive mind. And what it means is that you, as one medium-sized company, for example, are no longer on your own. You actually leverage all the benefits, all the security learnings from every other client. And it's that network effect that really brings the power of Midgard in the long run. Mm-hmm. If you like, yeah. it's a botnet, but for the good guys.
Okay, and essentially, are you targeting mid to small sized companies? Is that what it is?
Actually, there are two different versions of Midgard. There is Midgard Enterprise, which is aimed at large institutions, but there's also the Microsoft solution, and that's aimed to make sure that mid and small-sized companies can probably for the first time ever, get access to full enterprise-scale security monitoring facilities. And that's also disruptive from our perspective, because it will make sure that a much wider range of companies and SMEs can meet the expectations of the general data protection requirement.
Excellent stuff. Okay, well, if anyone's listening to this and they can hear that you have on your hand there sort of proprietary technology that can be, has the ability to be disruptive and is very different from what's out there, and they like what they're hearing but are not following you yet on Vox Markets, could you give them three reasons, Stuart, why they should hit that follow button on your page, please?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, the cyber market is probably the most exciting market on the planet right now. Secondly, Phalanx is a growing, highly innovative company, as you've heard from Jay. And thirdly, today we're launching a new disruptive technology which will change the way that people think about managed detection and response.
Jay, Stuart, thanks very much, and hopefully we'll speak again very soon. Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast now is successful private investor Smudge Dan. You're right, Dan.
Very well, Justin. Thank you. Very well indeed.
Yeah, we haven't talked for a while, have we? It's been a while. With I think you know, the market's been a bit sort of over the summer. It's a game, isn't it? Specific stocks have done well, but generally, I think the market is grinding a bit lower, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. I mean, over August, there were a few spikes, a few sort of illiquid, small, very, very low-cap stocks that went up. But in general, it was probably best just to have the month off. And but it's good to see over the last week or so, the liquidity is coming back into the market. And I think we, you know, all things being equal, we should have a very good end to the year.
Okay, cool. All right, well, let's. What are you looking at? What stocks? Take me the first one.
Okay, so the theme of today is recovery plays. So I've got three here that I think are going to do very well. Well, hope they will do very well leading up to the end of the year. The first one is a company called Blue Rock Diamonds.
Yes.
Ticker is BRD.
Mm-hmm. What's happening there then? I'm sure I had them on the podcast recently. It's hard to know if so many people on the podcast, but I'm sure I did. Yeah, BRD, yes, go for it.
Yeah. So you know, historically, they've struggled. It's a diamond mine out in South Africa. And, you know, they've certainly had their fair share of problems over the last couple of years, you know, with weather and equipment issues and this, that and the other. But they last couple of RNSs show quite a decent turnaround play. The tonnage of mining that they're doing has increased significantly. They're getting a higher amount per carat. Mm-hmm. In their sales, and they anticipate they're going to get profitability in the coming months. So they're also now going to be mining a sub 20 meter level, which apparently the grade is going to increase as well. So we're at a point where the market cap's kind of bumping along the bottom. There was a placing recently which I participated in. Mm-hmm. And it's up from there, but you know, if you look at the 12 month high, it's sort of 11.5p. There should be plenty of upside with this, with a market cap currently of 3.4 million.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, things are looking up. It looks like we're going to get another record month this month in terms of amounts mined. So I'm hopeful that we'll see further upside there. I'm looking for a target price. Probably for me, I'd be looking at 4 to 5p, but I think it could go beyond that.
Yeah, and so, what place was that? What, 125, is it?
So 125, yes.
You've doubled your money there, Dan. It's all right.
Hopefully, yeah. Well, it's already kind of doubled my money. I haven't sold any yet, so I'm pretty bullish that we're going to see some good further upside on there.
Cool. Okay, that's BRD, is it? All right, marvellous.
That's BRD, yeah. The second one that I would like to mention today is Starcom.
Yeah.
So another recovery play. They listed on AIM, I think it was in 2013. You know, it's quite an interesting company, this one, quite an interesting technology company.
I've been drawn to that. I've read a bit about them. One or two scathing updates on them, saying it's always a bit vague here, and they don't seem to be growing. But I do like I like tech, and I like the idea of this. But I haven't looked at them recently, and I've noticed a couple of sort of collaborations agreements, and they've got revenue there. So what do you think? What has changed in the last? Because I think the last time I looked at them was about 6 months ago, I think. But you know, they're always on my watch list, kind of thing. You know.
Well, I think it's that sort of unique tech that if it takes off, I mean. There's a few companies like this on AIM in different sectors.
I like the takeoff bit because I know they're involved in aircraft.
Exactly, yeah, yeah, the monitoring of transports and utilizing GPS, and they've got some sort of unique technology which has promised a lot over the last couple of years, and I think it's fair to say thus far has kind of failed to deliver.
Yeah,
they've done some placings, the price has gone down, they've got YA Global involved at one point, which is obviously, you know, that's led to further deterioration of share price. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the last couple of RNSs that have come out, so there was one on the 30th of August and then one subsequently on the 8th of September. Mm-hmm. And they're signing deals, they're getting deals done, and they, you know, hopefully the last placing that happened in June will be the last one. And then the business is going to be cash generative going forward, and they're actually going to finally kind of deliver on the promise that was anticipated to deliver on a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
We've had further dilution over the years, but this was over 20p a few years ago, and we're now sort of not far off the lows. I think the last placement was about 1.5p, and I think that they are delivering on these contracts. So one to watch. I think hopefully we're going to see more contract activity over the coming months.
Yeah, hopefully. So they are doing deals, but what I looked at the last, set of results, the final results there, and what annoyed me was, the revenue hadn't grown in the last year. Exactly the same from 2016 to 2015. It was 5.13 million. And I thought, what's going on here? There's a loss there of, I think, 1.36 something like that, yeah, which was less than a loss. But I thought, but it seemed to me there was a long, before this came along, the final results, it seemed to me growth was being promised, but it hadn't materialised in any way. I thought, what's going on there? There was a couple of excuses or a couple of things went wrong. And like you said, they've promised a couple of things previously, and it hasn't materialised. And I'm saying, so you think now, hopefully, that this is changing. You think this certain things are going to materialise, and they're going to see growth here.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. It's always difficult with some of these technology plays, especially when they're very small companies and they're dealing with large multinationals. You know, the large multinationals are the ones that call the shots and call the shots on the timing and everything. So it's quite difficult for these smaller companies to sort of predict in sometimes when the revenue is going to drop in and when the deals are going to be done.
Yeah, yeah.
But, looking at the last couple of RNSs, things are starting to move forward. And I think, now is the time to be getting in. And that's what I've done anyway, and I think hopefully we're going to see some good appreciation, as we go in towards the end of this year and the beginning of the next year.
Yeah, and just to point out, they're sort of involved in tracking, aren't they? Stock, goods, and all that across. So a company comes to them, and it can be monitored kind of in real time, and all this. They've got these bits of tech that attaches to certain cargoes. Is that right? And vessels and planes.
That's exactly it. Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah. Okay. So it's good for. I mean, moving forward, of course, if you're transporting valuable items, then you think it's worth spending the money on making sure those items get to their destination without being stolen, tampered with, etc. So it's definitely a big market there because they're transporting.
Absolutely, yeah, and I think aviation security is coming to the forefront again, in light of current events. So I can see a growing demand for their product, and I think once, like many of these things, once they sign a deal with a couple of majors, it then kind of validates the concept a little bit and gets others interested as well. So it's sometimes it's just a case of getting those first couple of big deals across the line and it kind of opens the floodgates. So that's what I'm hoping will happen anyway.
Okay, and the last stock you're looking at, Dan?
The last one is an old favourite of mine and has been an unmitigated letdown thus far, but it's Management Resource Solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The ticker is MRS. So obviously there's been a lot of activity on this one over the last year in terms of management changes. I've been invested now for a couple of years, and as I say, I'm well underwater on it.
Yeah.
However, I think now is a time of opportunity. Hopefully, we've got two businesses there. One of which is Backman Plant Hire, operating in Queensland, which has great earnings visibility because of the various regeneration projects that are going on up in Queensland. And so that business ticks over sort of, revenues of about 30 million Australian dollars probably, and a profit of maybe 2 or 3 million, maybe a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And the other business, which in theory should be the powerhouse of the operation, is a company called Sub-Zero, which is a business that supports the coal mining industry in New South Wales in Australia. And that was a business that was acquired last year from administration at a time when the coal price was pretty much at its lowest. And, you know, almost to the day that the business was acquired, the coal price went up. And, you know, the coal business in New South Wales is doing very well now. Mm-hmm. And Sub-Zero as a business is equally doing very, very well. In terms of, you know, just looking at what we're seeing for adverts for new jobs, etc., they are they've got a lot of work on. You know, hopefully that work is resulting in profitability for the company. Although we've not had any updates in terms of how the business is currently performing. Yeah. So that's the risk at the moment. And there's also to point out another negative is that they've had a claim from one of the subsidiary companies when that was closed off from the former MRS business, the consultancy business. And so that claim is currently outstanding. I think it's $3.6 million. Mm-hmm. My theory on that is that can't be valid, because how can a subsidiary company be owed $3.5 million by the parent? So I'm hoping that claim will be put to bed shortly. And once that's done, I'm hoping that we're going to start seeing some good news out of the company. So, you know, we've got revenues of about $50 million in total, and I think that hopefully that's going to increase. And I think, you know, we could be looking at a company potentially that could be looking at profits for 2018 that may even exceed the current market cap, which is about £5 million. So there's clearly risk involved. You know, I've put my money where my mouth is, and have gone no to Fireball on it with a shareholding of over 3%. Mm-hmm. And I'm hopeful that's going to do very well as we go through the rest of this year and into 2018.
Yeah, and so we've got this, like I say, this business there that is turning over revenue. It's heading towards profitability, like you say, but there's these corporate issues. And as far as the board is concerned, I know there's shenanigans with the board. So is now the board, full of people that good people who trust, or is there still people on the board there? Because I lost the story halfway through, and I thought, because I knew there's a lot of shenanigans going on there. So is the board okay now? Is it full of trustworthy people that you find as a shareholder? You know.
Yeah. Well, the only remaining board member from the old guard is the FD, who's Tim Jones. But the impression I get is that he, you know, it doesn't really have much of a day-to-day involvement in the business.
Yeah.
And the people that are on board there are people like Nigel Burton, Trevor Brown and John Zorbas, who are, you know, directors or CEOs of other AIM companies, and certainly have very good reputations, and have very good reputations of delivering shareholder value, you know, as evidenced this morning by another company, BRH, Braveheart, where Trevor Brown is the CEO, who issued an RNS this morning where one of their investments, you know, effectively the valuation has gone up six or sevenfold. So, so they know how to run a business. I feel a hell of a lot more comfortable with the individuals involved now than before. And, you know, we've got the right macro environment in terms of the coal price. Mm-hmm. So hopefully everything sort of adds up now. And as I say, there's risks involved, but I'm willing to put my money where my mouth is.
Yeah, cool. All right, marvellous stuff, Dan. Thanks for that, fella. And hopefully we get a positive update and get you back on to talk about it in the not too distant future. Thanks very much, Dan.
Brilliant. Cheers, Justin.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Jersey Oil and Gas, JOG. At four, always there pretty much, Ascent Resources, AST. At three, more news out today on significant gas shows, Imperian Energy, EME. At two, Angus Energy, ANGS. And number one, most followed, is UK Oil and Gas. That's UK OG, of course. It's been in there quite often of late. All right, top five most liked RNSs are as follows. At five, Imperian Energy, further significant gas shows at Dempsey. I think they've had six of those RNSs over the last few weeks. At four, Asian Met Resources, ARS, applies to British Columbia and Ontario Securities Commissions to cease being a reporting issuer in Canada. At three, Vast Resources, update on Beta Play Association license and interim bridging loan. At two, Angus Energy, ANGS, drilling commences at Lindsay X2. And number one, most like Darnes, is from UK Oil and Gas, UKOG, update on Bradford Bridge 1. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.